Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's message. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if this message has inspired you to take your next step in faith, please let us know by reaching out to us through social media or the church office. We are praying and believing that God will change you through his word today. Blessings.
I'm continuing today in a series of messages on questions in the Bible. We've been hanging out for the last few weeks in the third chapter of Genesis, and now we're going to move over to Genesis chapters 17 and 18, although I'm beginning with the primary text that we find in Genesis chapter 18, verses 13 and 14, where we read, "And the Lord said to Abraham," here's the question, "why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I indeed bear a child when I am so old?'" Now that's the first question. There's another question right here. And this other question is one that we should be asking every day. Is there anything? I ask you that today. Is there anything too difficult for the Lord? So God said to Abraham, "At the appointed time, I will return to you at this time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Folks, our God is a God of comedy and laughter. And I'm not talking today about the slapstick or punchline comedy out there in the world. I'm talking today about theological comedy. Romans 8:28 is a prime example of the theological and comedic process of God. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. In other words, no matter what we have to go through in this life, when we go through it with God, ultimately the end result is joy and laughter. Weeping may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. When a story moves downward from high to low and good to bad, we call that story a tragedy. But the upward movement of God from trial to victory, from bondage to freedom, from bad to good is comedy. We see it everywhere in the Bible. And the purpose of God in the lives of His people. God may call His people at times to do things that seem foolish and laughable to many. Here's a man who is led by God to open an orphanage with only 50 cents in his pocket. And people at the time said it was irresponsible. People said it was even cruel to undertake such a project for children with no proof of assets and any way to provide for them, especially when it was at such a desperate time in the year 1836. But George Mueller prayed. George Mueller obeyed God, and eventually $7 million came in and thousands of children were saved. George Mueller ended up laughing in the goodness of God. Who but God would allow a man to be sold into slavery by his own family, to be falsely accused and to be cast into prison, only to be raised up as the second highest person in the land to save many lives. Joseph had to be laughing inside when he, at the end, he stood before his brothers and he said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." Joseph's story is a story that moves from tragedy to comedy. God and Joseph had the last laugh. Who but God would have a man build an ark when it had never rained? Who but God would put the praise team on the front lines of the battle? Who but God would send out a little shepherd boy to face a well-armed giant? Who but God would announce to the world that a virgin would give birth to a son? Who but God would choose a handful of ragtag, ordinary people to change the world? It's all incredible. It's downright laughable. And that brings us to Abraham and Sarah, because they both laughed at the incredible and outlandish promise that God gave them, that when he told them that they would have a child of their own from their own bodies. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, "Will a child be born to a man 100 years old? And will Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" And Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." Now, you're going to have to come to your own conclusions on this story. But I want to tell you here what I think. I think there's a difference here between Abraham's laughter and Sarah's laughter. And that's why God did not say to Abraham, as he said to Sarah, "Why did you laugh?" That's why I want to explore Sarah's laughter in much greater detail here in a moment. But understand here today that not all laughter is the same. Laughter can be lighthearted and jovial, which most laughter probably is. But it can also have a dark, cynical side to it. Sanballat and Tobiah in the book of Nehemiah, they laughed at Nehemiah and the people when they were attempting to build the wall. It was a laugh of disbelief. But I think here that Abraham fell on his face and laughed because it struck him as comical. I really believe that. I think Abraham was saying, "Okay, God, that's a good one. I'm 100 years old. You got me there. Here's my comeback, God. Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." Why don't we just work with that? Here's Ishmael. Let's just work with him. But God said, "No, you're going to have a son from your own body." But Sarah's laughter was not lighthearted and jovial. For Sarah, it was either laugh or cry. I mean, listen. This was a woman who had endured years of pain. Some of you women here today might be able to identify with. She endured years of pain and frustration and disappointment and not being able to conceive and to have a child of her own. And now she's 90 years old. She laughs in utter disbelief at what God is saying. But little did Sarah know at the time that her laughter of failure and disbelief and hopelessness would be turned to the laughter of faith and joy and fulfillment. God was about to do the laughable in her life, because, folks, nothing is too difficult for the Lord. Amen. God is the God of the improbable. God is the God of the impossible. The story of Abraham and Sarah reveals to us that, to me, it reveals that God has a sense of humor. I mean, he must have a sense of humor. Look at yourself. I mean, okay, we'll skip that one. It reveals to us that God can do anything. And if we lose sight of this part of who God is, if we in our lives, if we rule out the impossible, if we rule out the laughable, then you know what happens? Life just becomes dark and dull, and our faith becomes stagnant. Instead of laughing at the impossibilities of life, we ought to be looking for the laugh of God in our lives. And so, Sarah laughed. And the question that came from God was, why did Sarah laugh? I would like to ask that same question and suggest that Sarah laughed at what God said, as we might be prone to do in our own lives because of three faulty assumptions. Assumption number one, God will only work within a certain time frame. I mean, this promise, when Abraham was 75 years old, when God spoke to him and said, "Hey, Abraham, let's go for a little walk on and look up at those stars up there. You see all those stars? Your descendants are going to be like that, and you're going to have a son. You're going to have a son from your own body." God gave him that promise. And at that point, Abraham 75, Sarah 65, even then it would be so incredible. But now, after 24 years of waiting, praying, and hoping, Sarah found out just how painful waiting is, and I believe her laugh had a lot to do with God's delay in this promise. And folks, please hear me today. It's the same for us, isn't it? I mean, God might put a word in our hearts. He might give us some type of promise in our lives. And then we set the clock, and the clock starts ticking. And we assume that God is going to fulfill that promise within a certain time frame, a time frame that mostly we have according to our own understanding and our own desires. It could be that we're waiting for a loved one to come to Christ. Or we're waiting for physical healing in our lives. Or we're waiting for a job to open up. Or we're waiting for financial relief. Or we're waiting for God to speak a word into our lives to give us some type of guidance and direction in something we might be struggling with. And we have all these things happening. And then we have our hourglass there. And we set the timer. We turn it down. And as long as we can see that sand just trickling down, yeah. Yeah, we still have hope. We're still believing. But when it seems to us from our own perspective that the sand of time has run out, then we might begin to think maybe God has forgotten his promise. Maybe God is indifferent to us now. What we need to realize today, folks, is what Sarah realized. God's timing may not be our timing. God's schedule may not be our schedule. And here's the main thing. Painful delays can sometimes lead to greater miracles. You remember what happened with Lazarus? Jesus was very close to Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And he was away, and word came to him that Lazarus was sick. And Jesus purposely delayed 2 days. And during that time, Lazarus died. What a painful delay that was. And when Jesus finally made it to Bethany, you know, Martha first came out, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Then Mary came, and, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Such disappointment. But what happened? God had it. Jesus had it all figured out. He said, this has happened for God's glory. And he brought them to the tomb and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And what a great miracle. Lazarus came and came out alive, and he smelled kind of bad at that point. 4 days of being in there. But many believed because of that. So painful delays can sometimes lead to greater miracles. I'm going to tell you about a story. Jamie and I, when we were in college, we both read a book called Intercessor by Reese Howells. It's about his life. He was a tremendous man of prayer. And I was telling Jamie about putting this in the message, and she said, I've read that book 4 times. I read it at least once, maybe I read it twice, but it had a big impact on my life. Reese Howells was one of those people that all kinds of miracles happened. He was in ministry and mission, and he would never talk about his need. And God would always provide. He would pray. He was such a man of prayer, and he would pray, and God would miraculously supply his need. It would come through the mail, or someone would offer him a gift, hand him a gift, but no matter what, it always the need was always met. But he tells a story about how his faith was really tested, because God was calling him to do a mission that required a lengthy train ride. He didn't have the money for the ticket to get on the train, and he was praying for weeks, and nothing happened. There was no gift in the mail. There was no one walking up and giving him what he needed for that mission. And so he prayed and was really agonizing in prayer the day before the trip. And he said he felt like God was speaking to him. What would you do if you had the money? And he said, Lord, if I had the money, I would get in line and go up to the ticket booth and get the ticket. And so the day came, and that's what he did. He got it. There was a lengthy line. He got in line. And the closer he got to that ticket booth, he said, the more foolish he felt. And when he got up to where there was just one person in front of him, then he was really wondering, did I hear from God? Did I miss God in this? At that point, the fellow behind him said, I can't make the trip, but here's the money I was going to use, and I feel an urge to give you this money for the ticket. God, is there anything too difficult for the Lord? God miraculously supplied that knee. It wasn't on his time schedule, on Reese Howell's time schedule. It was on God's schedule. And God met that need. And he was able to fulfill the mission. Well, let me move on here. Here's assumption number 2. God will only work with human resources and human abilities. You know, when I look at the story of Abraham and Sarah, I was praying about this when I was doing this message, and I was thinking, and the thought came to me of the loaves and the fishes, and how the disciples, when that crowd was there, all those thousands of people, and they were looking at what they had, their resources, their abilities, and they saw this crowd there that were hungry. And they said, even if we had enough money, we wouldn't be able to go anywhere and buy food for these people. And then a little boy came along with a small lunch of 5 small barley loaves and 2 fish. And they were looking at their own resources in that situation. And I think Abraham and Sarah, it was sort of like the disciples looking at those little loaves and the fishes. Abraham and Sarah, they were looking at themselves in the face of this promise. They looked at their old wrinkly, infirm, impotent bodies. And they said, no way. This ain't happening. At that point, when it came to intimacy, they were singing precious memories every day. I thought that was funny, but... But Abraham said, shall I have a child born to a man 100 years old, and shall Sarah, who is 90, bear a child? Nothing is too difficult for the Lord. Sometime when you get a chance, you might want to do this afternoon. Read Romans chapter 4, because that chapter is all about this story about Abraham, Isaac, faith. And I put two parts of Romans 4:17. The statement that's there in Romans 4:17. One's from the King James translation and the other's from the GNT. And it says in the King James, God calls those things which be not as though they were. And then God's command brings into being what did not exist. And so this story of Abraham and Sarah having a child when he was 100, she was 90, it's laughable, it's humorous. But never, here's my point today on this second part, never measure a problem you have in the light of your own resources and ability. Never rule out the miracle power of God. You might be missing a blessing if you do. God may create a need in your life to demonstrate that only He can fill it. And then when He does it, and you know it's Him, then you can laugh. You can laugh with joy because of God's miracle power. Here is assumption number three. God will only work with people who don't fail Him. And you see, I think Sarah was laughing because she knew she wasn't worthy. She knew that she had miserably failed. She gave her servant Hagar to Abraham, and then in unbelief and in bitterness and cruelty, she drove Hagar and her son Ishmael into the wilderness. But you know something? Do you know that Sarah's name is in Hebrews chapter 11? She's mentioned there in the hall of faith. Sarah, who failed so miserably. Why? Because her faith overcame her failure. I want you to look at this. Genesis 21, 1 and 2. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as He had said. And the Lord did for Sarah what He had promised. How many of you know today that all of the promises of God are yes and amen? When God makes a promise, you can stand on it. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age. At the very time God had promised him. And then a few verses down, we read in verse 6. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter. You see, she was in pain and questioning and wondering. But now she says, when the promise was fulfilled, she said, God has brought me laughter. And everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. The name Isaac literally means laughter. God fulfilled His promise. I want to tell one story before we pray. Maybe you have a need here today and you're believing God for something. We could pray and I'll pray for you. You can pray alone if you'd like. But I wanted to tell one final story. It's the story of Richard Warmbrand, and maybe some of you have read the little book, Torture for Christ. He was tortured for 14 years in Romania. He was tortured so badly in his cell that it damaged his legs and his feet. And whenever he was invited, after he was freed from that and he was invited to speak and share the gospel, often he would just have to sit because his feet and his legs were so badly damaged. But in 1992, he was invited back to Romania. And they said, "We're opening up our first Christian bookstore." And so they took him to this old place. They took him into a room that was filled with Bibles and Christian books. And Richard Warmbrand began to jump and to laugh and to praise God, because as they came to find out, he began to share with them that place was his cell that he spent 14 years in. 14. That cell where he was tortured became a place of God's Word. And you see, this is the thing about God. God always has the final word. And they were able to laugh along with him. And just like Abraham and Sarah, as Sarah said, "They will all laugh with me because God fulfilled his promise."